This is Josh Denny, and you are listening to March of the Pigs. Step right up. March of the Pigs, ladies and gentlemen, back in the Unpopular Opinion studio for the first time in, I want to say, 4 months. Okay, Jesus Christ. I knew
you want me not to do it. Okay, okay, got it. Sorry. Going forward, fine.
It's been a while
since you've been here.
Yeah. And I was like, we'll do a bike companion podcast later tonight. And then I realized that the episodes of Ginormous Food do not replay on Mondays anymore.
Oh, really?
Because there's a new show called Help My Yelp, which they actually fill Mondays with instead of repeating ours. So
I'd still rather watch your show again.
Okay.
is this where we just shit on the Food Network for the decisions?
No. This is going to be very uncomfortable when we have the host of that show on the podcast later in the week. Joe DeRose is here, everybody. Hey, man.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. You're having like a real hard time dealing with the pacing of my diet.
Yeah, we eat all that food. I've been on a pretty decent diet for a while. Mm. I haven't really been eating carbs. And we ate a lot of carbs.
Did we?
And a lot of fried stuff.
Yeah,
we had French fries.
With duck meat.
With duck fat on top of them. Then, you know, we had those sandwiches, a lot of bread. Obviously.
Yeah, we did a duck.
And then the mac and cheese. That's a lot of fucking
that is,
carbs.
Yeah, now that we're taking inventory.
Yeah. So I'm not feeling great.
You looked like you were going to take a nap in the car on the way over.
I feel like it. I actually feel bad like that I'm not making a good impression, but
no one's keeping score on that.
I'm not sometimes you're around people and they seem like aloof or checked out. I'm not aloof.
No, I know what I did.
Or checked out. I'm really tired, man, from that food.
I believe it. That's what happens to any normal person when they eat like I eat and probably Adam eats on a normal basis.
All the time.
Yeah.
I used to eat like that all the time. But I'm approaching 40, so, and I had high cholesterol last time I went to the doctor. So I had to, not crazy high, but, so anyway, I've had to, you know, you start getting around 40, you start getting a little more cognizant.
Let's say.
I'm past 40, and I had high cholesterol like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I've just forgotten about it by burying myself in food.
Yeah, that's basically a good way.
Yeah. Well, there you go. All right, well, fuck it, man.
It's just like it's the red line diet. It's you get to the point, and you just take it further. You just push past it, and you come out the other side.
Bury it down.
It's, yeah.
How old are you?
34.
Yeah, so you still got a bit of time
before it really starts to layer on.
Well, it wasn't like I was terrified because my cholesterol was a bit elevated or anything. It's really more just I can't process it anymore the way I used to.
Yes, that's
like
true.
I started to change my habits when I got I for a few years I wrote for television. A job I don't recommend to anybody.
The TV writing?
Yeah.
What, because of the food or?
It's just not. It's very tiring. It's very draining. For a guy like me, there's obviously nothing wrong with the job. It's a fine career and a lot of wonderful people do it. But it's for somebody like me that is impatient and wants instant gratification and doesn't like to work, it's not a good job.
Yeah.
You know? A lot of rewriting, a lot of, can this be better? Anyway.
Isn't it a lot of minutia, too, where it's just like, I know we've already established that the main character is a single dad in his 30s, but what if he's not? What if he's a dolphin?
Yeah.
And he's just escaped. But keep listening. Like, is it like that?
That is the nightmare aspect of the job to me, is the indulgence in everybody's ideas. Like, let's throw it all around. Let's really, and I'm like, there couldn't be a worse thing for me. I'm very impatient. I'm very just like, okay, that, move.
That's funny, that, let's move on. Yeah.
You know, like, and TV writing isn't like that, which is fine, but it's just not, like I said, it's a fine job. I just don't, but anyway, I had to change my eating habits because I couldn't, you know, they're long, they can be long days. I lucked out. I never had any terribly long days, but they were long enough and you have to be thinking the whole time. And you know, I just couldn't go to lunch anymore and eat pizza.
Yeah.
Or fucking cheesesteak or something and then come back and then try to think feeling like this.
Yeah.
So I just, that's when I'd start to really change the way I was eating. But so now when I revisit it, it hits me pretty hard.
Yeah.
And I revisit it probably, I haven't eaten like that in a little while, but you know, like once a week or something. You know?
I love that you're painting a picture for any listeners. Like, I haven't eaten like that. Like, I just took you on a fucking training day, fat person escapade. Like, I held you down and just fed duck confit over your head like a fucking frozen yogurt dispenser. Just eat it, Joe. I haven't done that since I was in my early 20s. But
yeah, I just meant mainly the mac and cheese on top of everything else.
Yeah,
the we didn't need that mac and cheese. Why did we get that?
That's my idea.
I was gonna say you ordered the mac and cheese.
Yeah, it was my idea. Yeah.
That's because mac and cheese is like a meal.
Well, it was a sloppy Joe mac and cheese. And
And
then they gave this, by the way, the garlic toast there was amazing. And I got to say, Joe's already a good friend because I'm the kind of person, like, if the garlic toast remains, I'll just sit there and fucking eat it for 35 minutes after I'm full.
Right.
Cause I don't want to throw away good garlic toast. He's like, hey man, we should probably get out of here. And I'm just like, all right, I'll leave it behind.
Cause I knew this was coming.
Yes.
And I was like, we better go and do the podcast, man. Cause I'm not going to make it. but it was delicious. It was a delicious meal. It was a very Food Network
kind of place.
You know, the places I've seen, on that network quite a bit.
It's all fusion-y.
Yeah.
I fucking hate fusion.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan.
It's sort of like, just if you don't need to make Mexican food Korean. It was good when it was just Mexican food, and Korean food is also good. We can have dinner two times at different places. You don't have to give me all the food in one bite.
Yeah. I do fuck with a KFC Taco Bell though. That's fusion.
I like that you think that a fast food restaurant that has two concepts in it,
Tex-Mex,
is fusion.
Tex-Mex American fusion. Yeah.
Now there are a few things better than the combo of the Taco Bell KFC.
Oh, yeah.
When you find them under the one roof.
There's a KFC LJS in, I think it's in Van Nuys.
It was in Sun Valley.
And that's
because you fucking went there when you lived with
multiple times.
And you came home the first time and was like, I was just out driving and I found fucking magic. And I was like, what are you talking about?
That's living the dream, man. That's LJS entrees with KFC sides.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Game changer.
So you won't do the fried chicken and the fried fish. You'll just get like the fish.
Let's not jump to conclusions. I assume that's what
happened. Well, I get the fish and the chicken from LJS.
Dude, the chicken fingers are amazing.
Yeah. I don't know what they do to that batter.
KFC is arguably my favorite food in the entire world.
Really?
Arguably. That and I'm pretty basic guy. That and a homemade taco kit.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They're my two favorite things.
KFC.
I
love
it. I can't get it out. I could eat tacos 4 days a week.
Oh usually. Yeah.
KFC was one of the meals I had on Saturday. I was telling Joe, yesterday was the first day in 3-4 weeks that I didn't eat anything.
Oh yeah.
The whole day, and it was because I couldn't. Because when I got back on Saturday, I flew home Friday, and I ate nothing all day because you're flying, and we know why we don't eat when you're flying, because you don't want to be the guy who doesn't fit in the bathroom.
Right.
So I get home and I was too tired. So I think we went and got like frozen yogurt. I had just a little bit of Netta's frozen yogurt. And then we went back home. And Saturday I woke up and I was like, I haven't had Del Taco in 3 weeks. That's got to happen. So I went and got Del Taco. Uh-huh. And then she got back from what she was doing like 3 hours later and was like, can we go get Kentucky Fried Chicken? And I was like, I don't see a problem with that.
Yeah, of course.
So I went and got a whole $5 fill up and I ate that. And then I went and did the show late night at CIA, the freak show. Yeah. I got back at 1:30, 2 in the morning, and I was like, man, I'm really hungry. The only thing I can eat is pizza. So I ordered a whole pizza. I ate a whole pizza.
From where?
This New York-style place in I think it's in Universal City, called Fernanda's. It used to be called Pepe's.
Is it good?
It's like the best New York style pizza I've had in the Valley.
And it's you ate a whole large?
Yeah, and when I say a large, I don't mean like, hey, they call it a large, but it's really a medium, like a fucking 20, like a 20.
It's a big pizza.
It's a 20-inch pizza.
Solo?
Yeah. Well, she had two slices, but she didn't eat the cheese. I ate the cheese off her slices, so... But it wasn't like I did it all in one shot. I had three, and then I took an hour off, and then I had the other three. But then I woke up the next day, and I was like, oh, no, this is the aftermath day. So Sunday, I didn't eat anything. I literally just drank water and tried to, like, get all of the food out of my system.
Yeah.
Like, you know you've eaten a lot when you touch your stomach, which normally has some jigglage to it, and it's just a fucking rock.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not from doing abs the day before.
That's not a good feeling. It's, that's usually ends with a vomiting or something.
Well, I can't believe I didn't throw up because I don't know. It was like I didn't eat any fast food on the whole trip. And then I was like, I'm getting all the fucking fast foods on the first day. And I'm 34 and I still eat. Like, it's a weird thing. When I grew up, my parents were always out of the house, so we never had food. They would go out to drink for the night, and they would be like, there's food in the fridge, make something. It's like, no, there's Kraft singles and bread and ketchup, like grilled cheese.
Right.
There it is.
With ketchup instead of mayonnaise or butter, because you don't have those things, so, caliente grilled cheese. So it was just one of those things where when I was a kid growing up, I was like, when I fucking am an adult and I have money, I'm eating whatever the fuck I want, whenever I want it.
Right.
And this is what happened.
Well, it got you a career, so.
It's like, I liken it to like when athletes grow up in the hood and then it is like, first thing I'm doing is buying a Bentley and my mother a house. Three white women. And then they do that shit because they grow up without all that. And then but I did that with food.
Where do you go to buy three white women?
I don't know. Minneapolis. They have some white women there. It's pretty fun.
I think they have a healthy number.
Do you know Minneapolis? I think at one point probably still is the biggest exporter of
white bitches.
Sex trafficking victims.
Really?
In the United States.
Now, when you say exporter of victims,
like to other states.
Oh,
there was at one point in New York City, there were like 12 shelters or organizations that help prostitutes get back on their feet.
Oh.
And at that same time in Minnesota, there were over 1,000 because it's such a huge epidemic there.
I feel like that ties into the show Fargo because I've started watching season 3 of Fargo. I really like season 1. Season 2 was okay.
Season 2 was weird.
By season 3, I'm going, they should just change the name of this show to People from Minnesota Are Too Dumb to Crime. Because the whole show is just like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I mean, we'll just go down there and settle all this out.
Yeah.
We'll just sit down and talk it over. And it's just like, no, that's the brutal killer. He's going to murder you and your whole family. Oh, gee, come on now. So that's probably how the women get sex trafficked. They just go, hey, do you want to get in this van? And they're just like, well, what's in the van there? And they're just, you know, trinkets and collectibles. I do like a good collectible.
Yeah. A lot of it's runaways. If you can believe that, people running away from Minnesota.
Yeah.
Crazy.
What decade does the new one take place?
2010.
So it's just basically present day.
Yeah, pretty much.
First season was the 80s?
80s or 70s, something like that. Or actually, I think it was the 90s because I think it ran, I don't know.
Yeah, it was the 90s was the first season.
Because it ran congruent with the movie.
Yeah.
It was almost like a continuation from the movie at one point.
Yeah.
And then the second one was like a prequel. Second season was like a prequel to season 1.
Yeah.
So that took place in the 70s.
Right.
Yeah.
And does this one tie into the movie at all, this new one?
They all do, but you don't find out how they tie into the movie story until, like, episode 10.
Oh,
they always
I see.
Make you kind of wait to see how it connects to the other shows.
I see.
Such well, a good cool. show.
The first season was amazing.
Yeah.
Second season was, this season is, I'm not all the way with it yet, but I'll keep watching it.
I liked what I saw season two. I thought it was very well shot.
Yeah, that was really, it was good.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
the cinematography.
Just the storylines was the UFO thing was insane.
That was completely random and left field. That felt like a Ryan. The fuck is the guy from Ryan Murphy? That felt like something he for would sure. do in a show.
Is that American Horror Story?
Yeah,
and Glee,
and Glee,
and People versus O.J. Simpson.
Yeah,
he pretty much runs FX Networks.
Yeah, he Jesus really does. Christ.
Yeah, that guy fucking hit the jackpot, man. Yeah, I'm not a big American Horror Story fan.
And you're a big horror nut too.
Huge horror nut. Don't like the show. It's too I don't know. It's too shocky or something. I feel like I can tell that it's trying to shock me.
It feels like it feels like
especially in the more recent seasons.
Yeah, it's like all this unnecessary gratuitous sex stuff and like you know, like I'm like, what, you know, what did a 12-year-old write this? Like, what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so I don't know. Stuff like that kind of loses my attention. I'd rather see more of that graphic edginess thrown into the horror aspects of the show, which I don't think it really is, oddly.
No, it's funny that you say that, too, because you're a huge horror nut, and I've always hated... I wouldn't consider myself a horror nut, but I am sort of a purist in the sense of... I like the horror movies from back in the day that use practical effects and stuff like that. And I hated American Horror Story, and I've hated it. The first season it was okay, but every season since then, I've just hated it.
I like the first season. I mean, it's a real bummer that it basically just turns into Beetlejuice in the last episode.
Oh, of season one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But aside Spoiler from that,
if you haven't watched TV in 10 years.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen Beetlejuice, here's how it ends.
Exactly. But yeah, after that, I don't know. And things that I just thought were like, just fucking easy home runs that they just like, when I was like, oh, they're doing a season called Coven about witches. That's going to be awesome. And then you're like, oh, it's. Young, attractive witches. Oh, fuck off.
Yeah, like that movie.
Who the fuck wants to see that?
The movie
that's
not
scary. Yeah, it's like, that's not scary. That's like, that's why I didn't like True Blood, like sexy vampire. Get the fuck out of my face.
Yeah, stupid. that thing devolved into a gay fuck fest, like 20 episodes. Again, season one of True Blood was cool. When you're thinking, okay, like, show me how vampires would live in the real world today.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
And then when it just turned into, now we're gay and we're fucking each other. And then the werewolf is also fucking both of us. And then this dude's a fairy. And I was just like, first of all, I can't call him that anymore. Second of all, fairies. Now there are fairies and sprites. And what the...
There was?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It got real bad. I mean, I finished it. But it got real bad in the final season.
Well, Penny Dreadful is like that, too. It's such a cool show. But then, like, there's so much needless sex. I'm like, I just don't understand the point of it. You know? I feel like I sound like a I'm not offended by sex. I'm a huge pornography fan.
But that's real fucking. Like, I don't want to see people pretend fuck.
I just don't. It just takes away from valuable screen time for a story that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why everybody has to be having sex with everybody to this extent on camera. Like, none of it's insinuated. All of it's just shown. It's just boring. Like, make a show about sex then. You know?
I'd watch
make
that.
Kinsey the fucking series.
Right.
And show people, you know, but I'm watching this thing for werewolves and shit.
I went to a haunted house once called the Blackout Haunted House. I don't know if either of you have ever heard of it, but it's supposed to be one of those extreme haunted houses where you have to sign a waiver and all this shit. And
is this the one you went to like a year ago? In the apartment?
No, it was a couple years ago. Okay. It was when I first moved to LA. And it is really intense in some parts. But then there's this one room where they walk you in and sit you down. And this girl who's done up like a zombie comes in and starts like giving you a lap dance. And all I could think when I was getting this lap dance was she smells like grapes. And there's nothing fucking scary about that. I was like, I would definitely have sex with this zombie. Yeah. Like, she needs to smell like sewer trash for this to be an authentic experience.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to feel like sewer trash, which is why she covers herself in grapes.
Exactly.
So
she's a naughty zombie.
She ruined the fantasy because of her own insecurities.
Yes.
She sure did.
Sexiness has ruined the world.
Yeah.
I used to have a bit about that, about sexiness is it's just ruining entertainment. It's just everything's got to be sexy, and it's stupid.
Well, it's the great example, too. Like, I just watched that Robert De Niro boxing movie, the Roberto Duran movie, Hands of Stone. And, like, 25 minutes in, there's just this gratuitous fuck scene between him and the chick. And I'm watching this on an airplane. So I got this fucking lady next to me, and I'm doing the old trying to tilt the iPad.
Right.
So she doesn't think I'm just like, ah, boobs. Like, right. But it's just like, why the fuck do I need to, why, if I'm going to be interested in the Roberto Duran story, do I want to see him fuck a woman playing his wife?
Yeah.
Like, that does it, to your point, there's not really a point to it.
Yeah, it doesn't move you anywhere.
I watch these guys punch each other. And by the way, I don't think of that when I watch real boxing. Like, can I have like a 5-minute break where two people fuck and I watch that, and then we can go back to the boxing? Because nothing makes me horny like Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard pounding the shit out of each other. Right. I'm like, finish me off, movie.
it's an odd thing. It's an odd thing. But what are you gonna do? People like their tits, you know?
They sure do.
They sure do.
Yeah, Joe says it like, but they're not for me. I don't agree with them at all.
No, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of the breast, but
I feel like that's written in for two reasons. One, the director's like, we cast this really hot Mexican actress that nobody knows, so she will show us her tits, and I want to see them, so write that into the movie. Or on a worse level, it's some female executive at the studio who goes, so if I'm a woman watching the Roberto Duran movie, how do you keep me invested? And it's like, if you're a woman watching a Roberto Duran movie, you don't give a fuck about the romance and his relationship with his wife at all, because you also fuck chicks.
Right.
Like, you're not, there aren't housewives going like, what's in the boxing movie for me?
Well, yeah.
I want to see as to how he met his wife and how they made their kids.
Yeah. It could also be a male executive being like, we need sex and TNA in this thing. You know? It just doesn't make sense.
No bigger indictment on boxing's entertainment value than that is like, listen, we need to have him fuck a chick 20 minutes in, because if this thing's just 2 hours of boxing, no one's going to watch it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what else is 2 hours of boxing? Fucking boxing.
Boxing, yeah.
Yeah. Every other boxing movie has been that, and then this one they had to put in a sex scene.
Yeah.
You know, Raging Bull, Rocky.
Yeah.
One through whatever, you know. But whatever. My gears are spinning slow here.
That's fine.
I'm trying to.
we're pulling you. Listen, we're fat men. We are used to pulling people. So, when you get a couple of us together, somebody don't make it, and you got to drag them through. So it's fine.
Yeah. So anyway, what else?
So you hate tits, but you love duck meat fries.
I love duck
and a good duck French dip. That's what we had for lunch.
That was delicious.
Did we say where we went? We went to Beer Belly.
I preferred the duck French dip to the triple pork torta.
Yeah, that was... The triple pork torta had that nice kick to it, and then once that kick was gone, it was just all kind of one note.
It did have a nice kick, and when you hit it with the pineapple, it was really nice. But
yeah, I didn't have any pineapple in mine, so
there wasn't.
No, I think they put the pineapple on your half.
Oh, that's half. That kind of made it for me, because I couldn't taste. I couldn't differentiate. It had three porks on it, and I couldn't differentiate between the three of them.
Yeah,
it just tasted like a lot of breaded pork.
Yeah, and also
breaded pork's always great. But
I'm never a fan of deep fried pork, though. Like,
I am.
Do you like it?
Oh yeah.
See, I like braised pork belly. I like roasted pork, but like, and you can deep fry pork belly, but it's not. It doesn't have a breading on it.
See, I Italian, like, you know, along with chicken cutlets, we made pork cutlets and
veal cutlets.
I always loved veal cutlets. I always loved breaded pork chops, shake and bake. I'm still a sucker for that.
Really?
Yeah.
I grew up in the Midwest. Pork tenderloin sandwiches were a big thing there. They're like really thin fried.
That's kind of what this was like.
Yeah.
It was like a pork tenderloin sandwich.
Yeah, it was good. It just needed, it wasn't, the fusion wasn't my style with it.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have a more robust cheese on it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It lacked a bitterness and it lacked, yeah, I think it really did lack a bitterness, like that you would like get
that
would from
have been great
cheese,
with a sharp
provolone or something. Yeah.
And then like some kind of, you know, the aioli doesn't really give you much kick. Like it needed a dressing with some sweetness in it or something.
What if you had put that raspberry shit from the duck fries on the sandwich? It probably would have worked.
That would have been great.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would have been great. Or even just if it had the sharp cheese, the pineapple and the meat and the peppers, that probably would have been pretty righteous.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, not to shit on Beer Belly. The food was very good.
But some of these places in LA, they get ahead of themselves. Like they try to do too much and then they miss the obvious things of just like you just said, sitting down and tasting it and going like, what is it missing?
Well, lots of ingredients is never the answer.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell in my life and my years of eating food of all types, you know, like there's a reason why, you know, the most popular cheeseburger is the one with like American or cheddar cheese on it and ketchup.
Yeah.
It tastes awesome. It's basic. It's simple. You know, if everybody loved a zillion ingredients, then every burger place that you ever went to ever would have these crazy fucking burgers. You know,
yeah, they'd all look like the burgers from my show. Where they're just like, not only did we put beef patties, we put pork, pulled pork, London broil, bacon, brisket.
Yeah. And that's a great point because those things on your show are they're specialties. Nobody's going, I get this every day for lunch.
No,
you know
that guy would do that for a week and then he would die immediately.
Yeah, so I don't know. I learned that lesson best with two things, with steak and with Italian gravy, because I'll make a Sunday gravy and whatever. And when the most valuable thing I learned was,
for the record, for people that are listening to this, when you say Italian gravy, you mean like a red sauce.
Yes, tomato sauce.
Yeah.
But I learned in making that the proper way is you don't put a shitload of ingredients in it.
No, I don't put a lot of ingredients in mine either.
No, it's let the meat flavor it, you know. I don't even add salt to mine anymore.
I don't add sugar.
No, fuck that.
I do not. I cannot believe places that add. I mean, I go to them all the time because, you know, for the show, we eat a lot of places, these Italian places, and they're like, we put sugar. And I'm like, don't fucking, if you're using canned San Marzanos, there's already plenty of sugar.
There's plenty of sugar. And you
tomatoes,
saute.
Period.
Yeah, and you saute an onion. You chop it into bits. You saute that.
I don't chop mine. I half it. But
Yeah. I chop mine up with celery. And you saute that, and that gives you enough sweet. It's like you don't need, you know. But yeah, I'm not dump. I put in like two basil leaves. That's it, man.
I put a whole sprig of basil in mine.
Yeah,
I crock pot mine. So my recipe is super easy. I'll give it to people. I use canned San Marzanos. The what's the yellow brand? El Cento.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And then I use one can of that, and for every can I use a half a jar of roasted red pepper.
Oh, really?
So that's where I get my sweetness from. So, and I put that all in a food processor, blend it together.
Oh, that's different.
It's good.
All right.
You put it in because you're getting the vinegar from the peppers too, because it sits in the vinegar. Then that gives me just enough sweetness. In the saute pan, I do shaved garlic, like just shredded garlic. Saute that with roasted red oregano, and that's it, and butter. So that becomes my base. That gets mixed in with the sauce. And then in the sauce, as it cooks down, I put a little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper, more pepper than salt, though. I might put like a sprinkling of kosher salt in there just so that as it renders, it kind of liquefies.
Right.
And then I'll put a lot of black pepper, probably like 3 or 4 shakes. I say a lot. That's probably like a tablespoon for like an 8-quart crock pot.
Right.
And then I just put half a yellow onion and basil, a whole sprig of basil, let that cook down in the sauce. That's it. That's the whole sauce.
So you don't even prep the onion. You just throw it right in.
Just throw it in raw. I cut it in half. I put the half in, and I let it slow cook into the sauce in the crock pot.
Oh, that's cool. Maybe I'll try that sometime. It is kind of a pain in the ass sauteing this stuff first. But
yeah. Well, the only stuff I saute first is the garlic, just to kind of activate it. So I put the garlic, the butter, the roasted red pepper, the red pepper flake, and the oregano, and I just cook all that down in butter.
Nice.
Put it in. So it's a pretty simple sauce, but I put no added sugar. I don't try to caramelize anything, you know. And
sure.
The sweetness that you get from the roasted red peppers is all the sweetness that it needs.
Yeah, I don't know if I would like the addition of the pepper or not. I think I would, though.
It's yeah. Next time I'm going to make lasagna this week, I'll set some sauce aside for you. And
all right. Well, thank you.
That'll be fun, right? Yeah. Hey, Joe, do you know Josh Denny? Yeah, he brings me sauce on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Well, it'd be fun to have, like, that's like the kind of shit our parents grew up doing. Like,
yeah, I know.
Yeah, Vinny comes over once a week. He brings a sauce. He brings me the sausages from the market on the other side of town
that
I don't drive to.
That's an amazing thing that or character, what do you call that, a trait? I don't know, yeah. A gesture that's been lost, like people bringing food either that they had prepared or that they can only get where they live,
right,
to the place where you live as a, you know, as a gesture of saying, hey, here you go.
Well,
we brought these. You can only get these cookies at this place.
Yeah.
You know, people don't do that anymore, really.
Well, people used to do that shit all the time where... I don't think anybody came over our house when I was younger and didn't bring something.
Right.
Because they were coming from somewhere, and they go, oh, I know you like the ladies' pies from around the corner from my house, so I brought you two pies. Like, people would do that shit as a gesture. And now people are fucking weird about you not texting them before you knock on their door.
Yeah, I know. This world is fucked.
That's a good spot to take a break, and we'll come back here in a second. And we'll talk about how this world is fucked, according to Joe DeRosa. All right, so you were saying?
Yeah, the world's fucked. It's, you know, what are you going to do?
Did you grow up like that with that kind of food stuff going on when you grew up in the Philly area?
Yeah, very, very communal, very... you know, you people had manners.
Yeah.
So, you know, you didn't show up to things empty-handed. You tried to, you know, do things for the people that you liked and loved and right. Whatever. You know, little gestures. I mean, if again, it's getting a cake or something. But
have you noticed now?
I don't think people.
Have you noticed now? People are fucking weird if you do things like they get uncomfortable with it.
Because I don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't know what it is. I think it's also people being just out of touch with their surroundings. Like people that live in places and you say, have you ever been over there? That's pretty good. And they're like, no, what are you talking? I don't know what that is. You know?
Yeah. Like I presumed like when we met up today, I just go, oh yeah, all these places in this neighborhood that I like Joe's probably already been to. Because that's what you do when you move to a new neighborhood. You explore all the shit that's around your neighborhood.
Right.
Like, to the point you just made, I feel real fucking weird if I pick somebody up, like, that lives in that area, and I go, hey, have you ever been to the Morrison? And they just go, no.
Right.
And it's just like, no.
Right.
It's the highest rated burger joint, like, top five in all of Los Angeles, and it's on your, it's like, around the fucking corner from where you live. I have a buddy who lives on Los Feliz, like two lights down. And I was like, hey, man, you ever been to the Morrison? He's like, nah, where's that? I was like, it's the fucking place you drive by every day.
That's funny.
And it's like, it's one of the better burgers in LA. It's a cool vibe. It's like,
it's kind of got spot.
That. Yeah. The owner there is one of the nicest dudes I've ever met.
Yeah.
I went there one time. The first time I went there with another person. And I don't know if he overheard us talking about food shows and stuff that I was working on one, but he was like, oh, you guys ever had our desserts? And I was like, no. And he goes, well, bring you desserts. And he just brought us like three free desserts.
Oh, that's nice.
And yeah. It was like super nice.
I guess. Yeah. Well, maybe the world isn't fucked. Maybe I'm being too negative,
but I mean, you know, it is funny because I, you know, where I was like, oh yeah, I'll make a sauce and you can try that. Like 90% of my friends in LA, if I was like, I'm going to make you this sauce, they'd be like, what are you trying to fucking poison me? It's just people are weird about gestures like that. But Adam's not that way. Like Adam just came home when you were staying with us, one of the first football Sundays, I woke up and you're in the kitchen just making a fucking bucket of chili.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I do this for football, so you guys feel free to dig in.
Yeah. I make really good chili.
Yeah.
Our podcast network is putting out a cookbook soon.
Are you?
And my chili is
the
gonna
unpopular
be
opinion.
We are.
You just put all the disgusting food into the cookbook.
I cook like a motherfucker.
I know you do.
I don't know about these other cats,
but
my recipes are going to be on point.
You like some interesting shit though. Like you like some shit that I'm like, that's a little bit too much for me.
Like what?
I can't remember what you were cooking one time. It might have been steak, but Joe, you were talking about minimal shit on steaks.
Yeah.
I go salt and pepper crust only and I reverse sear. So I bake it and then sear it. But Adam's got like 45 steps to his steaks that make them amazing.
Yeah. I broil it first I just broil it first and then pan sear it.
Yeah. So you do a reverse sear too.
Yeah.
But rub has like a million.
And then I shit on all that hard work by pouring a gallon of A1 on it.
Yeah.
So you can't tell.
That immediately disqualifies you from being a steak.
No, I fucking love it, man.
Okay.
I like A1. I don't mind it. What do you season it with?
I usually use garlic powder, cayenne pepper, usually just garlic powder, cayenne pepper, and salt and pepper.
Yeah.
I actually season almost everything with that.
Yeah, that's like a meatball mix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do that. I don't use the cayenne, but I do the
garlic.
Yeah, garlic, salt, pepper. You know, the only thing I put like cayenne and chili pepper and all that shit on is like chicken.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like
I do that.
Know. So I like chicken to have. You know, I think chicken works well with a bunch of seasoning, but
fuck,
you're making fried chicken. Put orange peel in it.
Yeah.
Orange peel.
That's a tip.
Orange zest.
Yeah. Yeah. You can buy it in bottles.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you can, but the fresh.
Yeah. Or you can just grate some orange peels.
You just take
over
a microplane grater and put the zest in it.
Yep.
Lemon zest is good for chicken and stuff too.
All right.
We're just like randomly like, Joe, you want to know how to make good shit? this podcast should be changed. Like listen to a stranger, listen to two fat guys talk about how to make shit taste good.
I'll try that. I've been meaning for a while now to hanker down and like come up with a fried chicken recipe.
Yeah.
And or just start experimenting with it and trying different stuff. And I just think I haven't done it because I'm like, I don't need another
vice
unhealthy food to be eating.
Like, I'll tell you what,
I don't want to do it all the time if I make it right, you know?
I'm kicking myself right now because so that place that was on the Atlanta episode of Ginormous Food, that was the place we shot the sizzle at.
Oh yeah.
Last year, the Louisiana Grill in outside of Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And this dude has these amazing fucking Cajun fish rubs. Like his fish is the best shit I've ever eaten in my life, as far as like Cajun Louisiana style seafood. Mm-hmm. So I go, man, this is really good. It's kind of like mine, but it's got something extra. And I go, can you just tell me what the mix is so he can make it? He goes, nah, I can't do that, but I will send you some. So I'm thinking he's going to send me like a fucking shaker's worth. I get a package in the mail before I leave on this last run. It's a box that would fill the whole middle of this table. And inside are gallon freezer bags filled with rubs.
Wow.
And I have he just gave me like essentially a year's restaurant supply of his rub.
Jesus.
And I, so like the first night I was just blackening fucking tilapias in it, just throwing them down. And it was the most amazing shit ever.
Yeah.
I don't know what, and I was trying to dissect it. Like I was telling you at lunch, I'm getting better at dissecting stuff, but there's a couple things in there that I'm just like, I don't know what the fuck this is.
Wow.
I don't know if he's using like Chinese five spice or allspice in it or something else, but it's amazing because like right when you think the heat is too much, this layer of sweetness kicks in. It's really, really good.
What is Chinese five spice?
Allspice. It's just like a mixture of spices, right?
Like Mrs. Dash, like that kind of thing?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
But a lot of chefs use allspice in particularly in Asian food.
It can't just be. It's not, but it's not like rosemary and thyme.
No, I think
like
it's got star anise in it. What's that stuff? I think it's star anise.
Anise.
I call like it that, star anise. Hold on. Let's look this up. Chinese allspice. Yeah, five spice powder. I didn't want to be racist and just go, Angie! She's just like, oh, I have some right here in my purse. let's see. Yeah, this is none of this is in English. Oh, it's used in Asian and Arabic cookery.
Okay.
It's got star anise, cloves, Chinese cinnamon, Szechuan pepper, and fennel seeds.
What is star anise?
Star anise.
Or anise.
Yeah, star anise. Yeah. It's this stuff. It looks like, so if you've ever seen these in whole spice things.
What's
in
the
jars,
flavor of it?
I think it's almost like cinnamon because it comes out of a fruit, I believe.
Okay.
Oh, star anise means eight horns in Chinese.
Eight horn star.
It's an evergreen, yeah, medium-sized evergreen tree native to northeast Vietnam and a southwest China. A spice commonly called star anise, star anise seed, Chinese star anise, or badium, closely resembles anise in flavor and is obtained from a star-shaped pericarp of the fruit of Elysium verum, which are harvested just before ripening. So it's a tree fruit seed.
Hmm.
That's going a lot of length to get some fucking taste.
Yeah.
That's a lot of... You're literally ripping open fruit anuses.
Any spice like that, I always wonder, who's the first person to roll the dice? Like, this might kill us, but it might make our chicken taste great.
Yeah,
like,
listen.
Let's see what happens.
Climb like to the top of that mountain.
Like the test pilots
Our
ancestors.
There's a weird tree up there. Climb that tree. Then there's like a coconut-shaped thing. Knock that motherfucker down. Then when you get off the tree, you chisel that open, rip out all the fruit part, the meat. That's garbage. Don't eat that. There's a pine cone little fucking tiny thing on the inside. That's the magic right there.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. It's crazy.
Oh, God. Yeah. People talk about food waste. People bitch about food waste when it comes to my show all the time. And I just want to be like, watch how any fucking fruit is harvested or meat is harvested. Like, there's so much food waste before your food ever even hits the grocery store or the restaurant or the plate. That's the shit you should be worried about is the manufacturing and the harvesting of food, not what gets thrown out after it's served
at
a restaurant. Who's
complaining about food waste?
Oh, sure. Everybody. If you go online and read like comments and shit about our show, they're just like, everybody's starving in Africa and you guys are just eating 16-pound burgers. I mean, feed a whole city with that.
I don't understand. Like, have these people never overeaten ever?
Most of them are fatter than me, so I really don't understand where it comes from.
You're not saying, hey, everybody, this is the way you should always prepare food, and then throw it away.
Well, the other thing
it's
too
like a
is
special
like,
event things.
And also, how is it different making one 10-pound burger versus 10 1-pound burgers and feeding the same amount of people?
Right. It's not different.
It's not different at all. If anything, it's just more efficient from the restaurant's perspective.
Yeah, for sure.
Not necessarily, because it is not easy to make a fucking 10-pound burger patty. But
it's
using the same amount of stuff and making something that's a spectacle and neat and cool, and you're just getting people interested in your restaurant to go there. It's like a calling card for these restaurants.
Right.
But, you know, Joe, you've been in entertainment for a long time, and you've seen the internet. It's like there's no fucking reasoning with these
I've
people.
Used it. Yeah, I don't. I try not to fuck with it too much anymore. I don't, you know, I go on Twitter and I promote my dates and podcasts and things like that, but I don't fuck with Facebook anymore.
It's hard.
I don't do any of that stuff.
It's hard.
I just don't care.
I try to sift through it to find the people that are like real fans of whatever it is I'm doing, and I try to engage with them so that they know I see them and that I care about them and that they, you know, that they're appreciated. But man, it's like sifting through gallons of shit to find that one peanut, and you're just like, man, I'm glad that the peanut feels good, but now I'm covered in shit and then for the rest of the day, and that doesn't feel nice.
Well, yeah, and it's a shame that the people that mean well have to suffer because of the idiots or whatever, but you know, it's just one of those things. Like, I just learned that interacting, it's just something you just can't do a whole lot because it ends up going to some weird place. Even sometimes when I'm not saying I never do it, but even a lot of time when somebody's trying to be nice, it's weird.
It ends up it was like the bit in your special. Yeah. Where he's like, guys, you're his favorite comedians, and then you know, it devolves into this.
Yeah.
The worst thing you've ever heard in your life.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not, but mainly my biggest turnoff is because of the, you know, like what you're talking about, like the endless spewing of opinions. It's just like, oh, for God's sakes, who cares?
How do you deal with that, man?
We interact a lot with our fans.
That's what I mean. But like, there's bound to be people that are just spewing garbage too.
No, we have a really unique fan base. They're really engaged because from the start of our podcast, we always made it a point to like read people's comments
on air.
And you'll be surprised how much that keeps people in line if they know you're going to read their shitty comment on the air and be like, hey, stop listening to my podcast, fuckface.
Yeah.
So
there's almost an accountability to doing it that way.
And it's to the point now that we're so interactive with our fans, we had to set up a P.O. box so people could mail us shit because people just send us gifts.
Yeah.
That's like nice.
This, almost all of the shit behind me, people sent us.
What's
the Gremlins thing?
Slick Rick.
That I bought record store day.
Oh, that was the record store day release?
Yeah. It's a,
Yeah, no, I read about it. I just haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, it's like a children's book version of the album.
Is it the whole album or just children's
It has story? The CD in it, but the children's book part is just the lyrics to children's story with like a children's book.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Neat.
Pretty awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
Stood in line for an hour for that fucking thing.
And you saw Jason Mantzoukas.
Right behind me.
Did you?
I did that creepy fucking thing where instead of asking him for a picture, I just
did it over the
took
shoulder.
A selfie and caught him over my shoulder.
Yeah.
Felt way weirder.
What did he buy?
I don't remember. He had a bunch of hipster shit, though.
All right.
He does seem very hipstery.
Yeah.
He's one of my
favorite world music and
he's
shit.
He's one of
like
my
that.
Favorite comedic actors, and he's definitely one of the people on my list of like, hey, if you can, whatever you can do to avoid ever meeting him outside of working on something together, do that.
Oh, is he like, a piece of shit?
No. But only because I would be like, that's cool now. Like, you're in weird shit.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You ever meet somebody like that, and you're just like, oh, man, like, you're even too weird for me. I'm into weird shit, and you're fucking weird.
His shirt was buttoned very provocatively.
Yeah, like, oh, he's like, you only using
down
the third
here
now?
And
oh,
like,
yeah,
see? Like, that whole
right
thing.
Right off the bat, I can't.
Yeah.
Can't fucks with that. I can't. I'm neurotic to the point where I will judge you for too many unbuttoned buttons on a shirt. Like, just what kind of, and by the way, did he have chest hair or was it clean shaven?
You know he did. Look at that dude.
I'm saying he should have had chest hair. But if he had a clean shaven, I would judge him further.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you don't do that. Just be yourself, man. Don't fucking shave. Who are you shaving that for? We're almost.
How long do you go for in this thing?
About an hour.
Okay.
There's a clock right there.
All right.
Does that feel like too long? Joe's like, I'm kind of done.
I feel like we've covered it now. I can't snap out of this itis, man. I can't. I got no juice in the tank right now.
It's why we mostly have white people on the show, because anybody of color comes with the itis already. So
Donnell Rawlings taught me about the itis.
Did he?
Yeah.
I learned about that when I was super young, and I was just itis? What kind of itis? And then they explained to me the full word, and I was like, I can't say that.
No. Yeah, I had you. Yeah, I learned to sit. The abbreviated word. Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, the itis is fine. Everyone knows what you're talking about.
Yep.
The Boondocks did a whole episode on the itis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'd heard it when I was a kid because I had a black. My mom dated a black dude for a while. He was like a stepfather figure to me when my parents first got divorced. And he explained to me what the itis was, and then I hadn't heard about it for like 15 years, and then I saw that episode of Boondocks, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's a thing. And then I was like, holy shit, that's a really racist concept. But anybody who's had Black Sunday church dinner knows that's as real as fucking the Jersey Devil.
The itis is real.
Well, it also has different names in different cultures, and I'm blanking on them right now. But I know that I've heard, like, oh, that's called the whatever the fuck. That's what Greek people call it, or whatever, you know what I mean? Or Italian people call it this. I know I've heard different versions. I just can't remember what any of them are.
Yeah, but it's like, it's all food coma related.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, if you
John L. Rollins, it's funny.
If you eat any sort of cultural food, it's usually pretty fucking heavy, man.
Yeah.
You know, like Italian food is not light. Look, anything can be light, but Italian food, Greek food, Jewish food.
Yeah.
Soul food, like all these things are like, you know, you're talking about brisket and fucking rye bread and potato salad and pasta.
Yeah.
you know, pita bread and cheeses and fucking fried chicken and ribs. Yeah. Like, it's like you're going to sleep, man.
Well, I just finished. Joe's just listing off ingredients. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, mix that.
Ethiopian food is pretty light. Especially when you vomit that shit up.
I was
going
to say. It's
so gross.
I was like, it's is gross? This a bit
Yeah,
coming,
have you ever had it?
No.
It's you eat it with your hands, which that's fine. I eat sandwiches with my hands.
I don't know. No, I don't do the same.
But they give you this.
I don't put the paste shit in my fingers.
They give
I'm not
you this
doing that.
Bread that's like, it has the consistency of like a wet sponge. Like it feels moist when you touch it. And I don't like that. And you have to just scoop the shit up. They give you like a communal tray.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone just scoops
really
the shit
hot,
up with
right?
the bread. No, it's the stuff I had was really bland, but I had vegan Ethiopian
food. Oh, well,
food,
then there's your problem.
Which, yeah, that might have been the problem, but
what
I can't imagine that.
What a pretentious fucking concept.
Yeah.
Vegan Ethiopian food.
Yeah, beggars can't be choosers. Come
yeah,
on.
It's just like, wait, really? That reminds me of like the homeless guy you try to give a sandwich to, and he's like, I'm not really doing bread right now. Like,
yeah.
That's okay.
Did you really puke it up?
No. Oh. I just didn't like it.
Yeah, I felt that way about Sri Lankan food.
I still maintain.
I'll never like Sri Lankan food.
I've told you this before, but I still maintain if you bought a copy of We Are the World and you still have it, you should be able to exchange that for an entree at any Ethiopian restaurant.
Yeah.
Because we did that so they would have food, and now they have restaurants here.
Which are
so
terrible.
So it only seems proper.
We apparently weren't dropping any allspice on those folks when we were dropping food in the 90s.
It might be a little flawed, that.
No, I think it's solid. Especially the part
Adam's
where...
Like, I've consulted an attorney. It holds up.
Especially the part where lots of people still have a copy of We Are the World. Yeah. Nobody still fucking has that.
What a shitty, shitty song for a
great
it
was.
Cause.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
a nice cause and the worst fucking song
also,
ever.
Also, a terrible phoned-in bullshit song made by some of... Earth's most famous fucking musicians.
Yeah.
Of just
they
like,
were, but it was you couldn't. You weren't catching Stevie Wonder at the right time.
Yeah. No, definitely.
You're catching him like hot off the heels of "I Just Called to yep. Say I Love You." Like that's not. If they would have wrote that song in the '60s with him, it would have been fucking fire.
Yeah, you know? You're saying Stevie Wonder's he was past his prime.
It's just, you know, he was on to the synthesizers. That's what that song sounds like,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And nobody that got into the synthesizers at that time, it never sounded right.
Except Prince.
Yeah, Prince used them well. But, I mean, you know, Rush was doing synths at that time, and it doesn't... It just
you
doesn't,
didn't like the synths in Rush?
I like some of it. Like, I like the way they use some of it on, like, Tom Sawyer and shit. But, like, they got way too carried away.
Yeah. What was I listening to recently? I've been on this huge kick of music from that time frame, listening like Talking Heads and Genesis.
Yeah, I like the 80s Genesis stuff.
Yeah.
A lot of that is really cool stuff. It's cool pop.
It's very. Do you listen to the 1975? They're like a newer band, but they kind of channel some of that sound.
Oh, the band, the 1975? Yeah. A little bit. I don't.
It's kind of cool how those sounds are coming back into music, but oh god, I was thinking of this the other day when I was in my 20s and I was playing. I played in bands before I did comedy. I would go to concerts like fucking four times a week and just see bands.
Yeah,
and then I like went and looked up a band that I wanted to see a couple weeks ago, and I looked at the price of going to a concert, and I just was like, how the fuck did I used to afford this four times a week?
Yeah,
yeah. Well. You were probably seeing cheaper shows, I bet.
Yeah, the average ticket price for the shows I went to was never more than $20.
Yeah, it's. I got to really rally to go to a live show these days.
That's how I feel. I got to be like, how many of my favorite bands of all time? Because if it's not all of them, I'm not even going to consider.
Right. I just saw the Pixies, though. That was pretty great.
Oh, that had to be
great. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Pixies. Yeah. And that was the first concert I'd been to in years where I didn't drink or anything. I just went and watched it. And it was really great.
I know it's shitty, but I'm really skeptical about rap concerts these days. Just because I tried to go see the GZA, and man, I got there.
Of all the people that have rested your laurels on.
I got there, and the show was supposed to start at 8, and they had this motherfucker DJing for like 3 hours, and then some dude comes out and whispers something in his ear, and I'm like, all right, this motherfucker is not showing up anytime soon. And sure enough, some roadie comes out and starts rapping lyrics off his fucking phone, like an open mic comic trying on a bit. And I was like, I'm just fucking leaving.
And you left.
I left.
That sucks. I just saw Wu-Tang at the Palladium, and it was like clockwork. Oh, but the Palladium doesn't fuck around, man.
Yeah,
the Palladium is they're Nazis when it comes to their schedule. They don't fuck around.
Yeah.
Yeah, every show I've ever seen there was like, you can set your watch to it.
It's a great venue.
Yeah, I was in LA. I was in LA Live, I think. Not great. God damn it, I wanted to see that show. Obviously, the Wu-Tang show
was great. The Wu-Tang show was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
What was the other one I wanted to see? Oh, the Run the Jewels show, but that kind of snuck up on me super quick. Yeah. I like Run the Jewels.
Yeah, they're great.
But, you know, that's that. I hate even saying that because it's such a trendy, this is the rap group that white people like.
No, that's just because they're good.
I just saw Jeselnik wearing a Run the Jewels t-shirt at the store one night, and I was just like,
okay.
It's become the new Tool. I can't fucking like this now.
I'm not that into them.
No?
I like both LP and
Killer Mike
as rappers a lot, and I've liked some of the solo stuff they've done, but the project Run the Jewels, I'm just not into it. I don't like the... It's too like synthy or something. I don't like the beats.
A lot of bass drops and stuff.
Yeah, it just doesn't grab me. It sounds almost like it's going to be a drum and bass thing.
Yeah.
Or like a dubstep thing. It's like very similar instrument wise. And I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
I just don't, it's just not my kind of thing.
But, I miss old school hip hop with instruments like fucking Tribe Called Quest from back in the day.
Yeah.
I like that shit when they had live bands in the background. And
I like beats. I like really hard, infectious beats. And I like the art of the sample a lot. I think like people do really cool shit with samples. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, DJ Premier is one of my favorite musicians ever. The things he did with samples was amazing. He even produced a Christina Aguilera album that's really great.
Those songs he did with her are great.
Yeah.
He's my favorite producer.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Dick Beanie Siegel?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, you're a Philly guy.
Yeah.
You like hardcore beats. I was like, you definitely like Beanie Siegel.
Yeah, I like Beanie
Siegel. I love
Siegel.
Beanie Siegel's music.
Freeway, too.
Yeah, he's a weird dude, but...
Jazzy Jeff?
Yeah.
Any Fresh Prince? Fresh Prince?
I'd actually... If Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince ever did a reunion show, I'd go to that.
Yeah.
I would definitely go to that. I can't believe they never have. You'd think... I don't know, that's odd to me.
Yeah, because he's been, at least through the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, he was really good about keeping Jazzy Jeff employed and involved in the things he was doing.
Yeah.
How great would it be if he just turned him into like his Clint Howard, like how Ron Howard puts Clint Howard in every movie.
Right.
Like Pursuit of Happiness, Jazzy Jeff just walks through in the background.
Right. Just out of nowhere.
Uncle Phil throws him out of the subway platform.
Right.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. I would have thought that would have been a great director's cut for that movie, 7 Pounds. Like when they found out where all of his body parts went, he's just like, oh shit, I got all his money. he left me his money.
I went to the Spy Museum in Washington, D.C., and they have these little missions you can go on there. And the first one, you walk in and they start playing a video, and the person on the video is supposed to be a CIA operative who's giving you your mission.
Yeah.
And I walk in and the video starts, and the CIA operative is the first Aunt Viv from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Yeah. So I'm just like, oh shit, that's what happened to her. She's in the CIA now. This is crazy. Because remember, she just disappeared in the middle of that show, and they just replaced her with a different Aunt Viv.
Yeah, it was like a contract thing or something. She got really mad when Will Smith boycotted the Oscars.
Well, you mean when his wife boycotted the Oscars and he was just like, whatever, honey, whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
Because he never really...
Just don't tell anyone I'm gay.
He never really openly co-signed on that. It was more of a just like, well, Jada say we ain't going, so we ain't going. So.
She crazy.
Yeah, she's...
She got real mad at Will Smith, man. She like did a video, but I don't know.
Well, it is funny because that brought up a good point that a lot of people don't realize is that if you go look at Will Smith's IMDb, he has a manager, but his manager is like his own production company, and that manager manages him and Jada and the kids, and then they all have their own separate agents or whatever, but. All he does inside that production company is make movies for him and his family. So she was like, you're bitching about there not being enough opportunities for black films, and you have one of the wealthiest, most active all-black production companies, and you only make movies for yourselves. Which is kind of like, yeah, bitch, that's what happens when you get on top. You make sure you stay fed.
That's why you have a production company.
Right. But it was one of those things of like, you do. I did see her point in that of being like, you could be out producing a lot of these sort of movies that people say they want to see, and you're not.
I don't understand why more actors don't do it. If I was Tom Cruise, it's like you could make anything you want, literally anything you want. It's like, why not? Why doesn't somebody go and make, you know, what the fuck was I just watching? But it was, I was watching I Am Legend, Will Smith movie. But there's been several interpretations of that book over the years. And I enjoy all of them, but none of them are accurate.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't understand. This is such a famous horror fiction novel. And I get it. Like, the studios take something and they go, it's got to be this, it's got to be this, because it's got to sell. Like, if I were somebody like Tom Cruise, I'd be like, okay, how much are the rights to I Am Legend? $1 million? Whatever, you know what I mean? Okay, I'm going to get the rights, and I'm going to take another $2 million of my money, and I'm going to shoot, like, an indie, raw,
version of
gritty version of this, the way it was always supposed to be. And we'll just do cool shit like that. Like, what is, you gonna run out of money? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think, but I think you're getting into the core of like what makes that dude tick. I don't think it's the interest of the project or any of that. I think it ultimately is like, he's probably a dude who rates, and who knows how he rates his fucking success. He's a Scientologist, so we can't even begin to unravel the way the dude's brain works. But it could be like, I want to be the highest grossing actor of all time. I want to have the highest grossing films. So, you know, those where you would think he would make financial compromises to maintain artistic integrity, maybe that's not his jam.
Yeah. It also could be 1,000 times more complicated than I'm making it sound.
Yeah, right now, yeah, so. For sure. But I mean, I agree with the sentiment of like, why don't cool people do more cool shit? Nobody especially does. When they get to the point where the money is clearly no longer, like a guy like Leonardo DiCaprio should only be doing passion projects. And I think he does for the most part, where he's like, I want, you know, like, The Revenant wasn't guaranteed Oscar material, but, you know, it took a lot of fucking commitment to do a movie like that.
We'll figure it out one day. One day we'll solve this problem.
Yeah.
And then everybody's problems will be fixed, and the world will be a better place, because Hollywood will be more involved.
Yeah. God, you just reminded me, I'm going to end on this. Did you watch the MTV Movie Awards last night?
Fuck no.
Okay, good.
I believe is the response.
Probably the right answer. Did you watch it?
No.
So it's the Movie and TV Awards now. Literally, like, and this is, this is where Adam and I butt heads sometimes, but it's turned into such a, like, liberal agenda pushing thing where it was like unfucking barrel. I watched the first 20 minutes and I tuned out because the opening thing was, okay, now we're doing movies and TV.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got rid of Best Actress and Best Actor. It's now it's non-binary, and they specifically went out of their way to refer to the way the awards were given as non-binary acting achievement awards. And then they had this actor who doesn't claim to be a gender.
Who?
Her name's like Asia something.
She's Tom Cruise, actually.
Weird. No, she's on some show, but she's like, I'm the first non-binary actor, and I'm announcing the first winner of a non-binary, just non-gender classified acting award. And then they gave it to the girl, Emma Watson, for Beauty and the Beast. And I was just like, I'm more offended that you think that that was the best performance than I'm offended that you took the personality out of those awards.
Yeah, I don't know. It's... I like the different groups because there are too many great performers in the categories.
Well, that's why I like the Globes more than the Oscars, because they break it up by genre too.
It's
comedy and musical versus drama.
It's like something, man. But if you just make one category the best performer, and then everybody has to get thrown into that, it's like so many fewer people will get recognized.
Yes.
Like, it helps to break it down a little bit, you know, like, I think at least, but...
Well, also, too, just like, now the... So it's almost like at the same time you're throwing shade at the Academy Awards and at the Globes for continuing to have gender-specific best actor, best actress, and so now you're going to put the PR teams of those celebrities on the defensive of, you know, is that what we're going to come to where bloggers are going to be like, well, you know, I guess Jennifer Lawrence is the best actress if you see things like gender. just like, are we, is it that fucking hard? Joe, you got a special out right now. One of my favorite bits on that was where you addressed this very specific topic.
Oh, well,
about,
thank you.
If we're equal. And it's funny because I had this thought and I never developed it into a bit. And I saw your special a few months back when it came out. I was like, there it is. That's the bit that was rattling around in my head. But the about if we're really equal, why can't I fight the lady in the parking lot?
Well, because she did call me out. That was a true story.
Yeah.
She did not. She did put the arms up. Like, what are you ready to do? And I was like, "This is like, I'm getting called out by a lady. Obviously, I can't fight her."
Right.
What's the? It's like in Deadpool when he's like, he's fighting the girl, and he's like, "I'm confused. Is it sexist if I hit you? Is it more sexist if I don't hit you?
Because you're a woman."
Yeah. So it's just that basically. But anyway, yeah. The special's out. You Let Me Down. It's on iTunes and it's streaming.
Comedy Central too, right?
Comedy Central. Yeah. So go check that out. And I have two podcasts. One is called We'll See You in Hell, which is a movie review podcast of horror, fantasy, and sci-fi on the HeadGum Network. And then Emotional Hangs, which is on Feral Audio. And that one's about adult friendship. So go check those out.
Yeah.
And thank you.
And you can see you on Better Call Saul on Mondays, right?
I wouldn't say you could see me on there. I'm on the show sometimes. I have a recurring thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So we'll see. I don't know how many more may or may not come. But,
sure.
But yes, I've been on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, thanks for doing the show today, man.
Thanks for having me, man.
And I hope your food coma wears off. It's a great way to end it.